the gospel as well. Matthew 19 and verse 26. But when Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. How many believe that tonight? Amen. With God all things are possible. And the context there in Matthew, they ask the question, how then can someone be saved? Who can be saved if it's harder than going through the threading of a needle? And Jesus simply said, with God, all things are possible. And I want us to think about that tonight, because there's people in this room who have some impossible situations that you're facing. And in life, we come to those moments. And yet, Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. Now, let's look over at Psalm 33. Psalm 33, and just a little more scripture reading on this subject of the power of God and the promises of God tonight. Psalm 33. The Bible says here in verse number 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as in heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, and the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the promises of the Bible tonight, and especially those promises that place into perspective the trials and the challenges that we face. And I pray that you'd speak to our hearts to embolden us in our God and to encourage us for the task ahead. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Years ago, someone said to me, if you have a small God, you have big problems. And if you have a big God, you have small problems. And tonight, as we open the Word of God, the question really is, what kind of a God are you serving? And if you serve the God of the Bible, you serve a big God tonight. And I want you to think about this with me tonight and think about the Scripture, but with God, all things are possible. Jeremiah 32 and verse 27 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? We think about many of the impossibilities of the Bible, and no one would have ever thought that Sarah should be looking for maternity clothes, but she did have to look. And no one would have ever thought that Noah needed to build an ark, but he did build an ark. And no one would have ever thought David would slay a giant in the valley of Elah, but these were people who learned that with God, all things are possible. And tonight we see this truth in the Word. And I want to share three basic areas that show us the power of God in the Scripture tonight, just to remind us of who our God is and how His renewing power can sustain us. First of all, in Psalm 33 tonight, we see His power over creation. The Bible says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. You know, I think about those that study the stars, and I think about those who spend their time trying to get a little craft up to Mars or an orbiter around the moon. And there are people who spend their entire lives studying just a little speck of space, just a little area of space. And yet our God created the heavens and the earth with His Word. The Bible says that our God is the God who has creative power. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we thank God for His creative power. He has power to create, verse 6 tells us. He made the heavens. And He began with no material. He had no matter before creation. It was simply God Himself. and His Word, and He spoke the worlds into existence. Colossians 1:16, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him, and all things were created for Him. And this is the testimony of Scripture to the power of God. And it's amazing today how oftentimes people refuse to accept God's power in creation. And I believe that anyone that would reject the gospel, anyone that would reject the love of God, it's amazing what else they will reject along the way, and it's amazing what they will accept. And of course, one of the biggest lies the devil has ever produced is the lie of evolution. And there are many people who reject the creative power of God, and they choose to believe that there was a big bang that took place billions of years ago, and that somehow there was this one-celled amoeba that just kind of fell into some water, and billions of years later, that turned into a fish, and millions of years later, the fish somehow grew some legs and popped up onto the sands of the shore, and somehow crawled up and became a monkey. And one day the monkey was swinging from tree to tree, and his tail fell off, and he fell on the ground and hit his head and became a professor at USC, and that's just kind of how it all happened. That's the story we're told to believe. That and you'll find that fundamentally, people who believe that line, if you will, also don't believe in Jesus Christ, don't believe in the Scripture. And I'm not sure if their belief in evolution preceded their unbelief in the Bible and their rejection of Jesus Christ. But the Bible says in John 1:10, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And so He made the world, and the Scriptures are replete with references and illustrations of His creative power. And so He has power to create. But you know, it's one thing to have power to create. It's another thing to have power to control the creation, and to have the whole world in His hand. I don't know if you've ever created something you could not control. How many of you ever made a model airplane when you were growing up? Anybody like that? Or maybe just something as simple as a bicycle, even with training wheels. You might think I'm uncoordinated. I couldn't even control a bike with training wheels sometimes. I mean, it was just that difficult for me. And I've had many things that I've created that I just really could not control. But God is in control of His creation. In the fact, the Bible says in verse 7, He gathereth the waters of the sea together as in heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. The word gathereth is a present, a participle, and it expresses a continuous action. And it reminds me of the tides, and it reminds me of God's working in the tides. And sometimes when you go out to the ocean and you watch the waves go out and the waves come in, and you can see the receding of the tidal pools, and you just are mindful of the fact that all of that is on a timetable, that all of that is according to the controlling plan of God for this planet. It says He gathereth them together as in heap. He mounds the waves up. And how many of you would say, sometimes He mounds them too high for me and I get sick? Nevertheless, it's according to His plan, and it's by His control. Psalm 107 and verse 29, the Bible says, He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. And I'm mindful of the question of the disciples as they were with the Lord on the Sea of Galilee, and as the storm came up, and as Jesus stepped out, and He said, "Peace, be still." And the disciples said, "What manner of man is this that even the winds obey His voice?" And of course, the answer to that question, "What manner of man is this?" is simply found in this statement that He is the God-man. He has all power over heaven and over earth. And the Bible says in Colossians 1:17, "And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." I don't know if that verse is in your notes or not, but the word consist speaks of the fact that He is sustaining and He is holding together this planet tonight. By Him, all things consist. He has power to create and He has power to control. Did you know that the Lord has power to consume? The Bible says, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Deuteronomy 9 and verse 3. Understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto you. Hebrews 12, 29. For our God is a consuming fire. And there are passages that deal with this as well. And we know that, again, God rejectors and Bible rejectors don't want to hear these passages. But in Genesis 19, 24, I will remind you tonight, we serve the God who brought fire and brimstone down on Sodom and Gomorrah. And God consumed and God destroyed. And we don't always understand the reason behind different tragedies. And we don't always understand what God is doing in certain difficult moments. And certainly today, as we've paused, many of us, just to think about the events of 9-1-1, we don't understand even those types of things. Why would God allow them, and why does evil exist? But I want you to understand this, that God has power to destroy. God has power even to destroy the enemies of righteousness. And we must always put our trust and our faith in the Lord, and must remember His mighty power. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, for when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. I mean, if you watch the news at all, you know there are people in this world today who hate the name of Christ, and they hate Christianity, and they hate the gatherings of churches together, and they consider this as nothing more than a target, and their venom is against the works of God. And sometimes it might seem that they're even successful in their venture, but I want to remind you that a day is coming when the Lord will take flaming, fiery vengeance on those enemies of His people. In fact, the fact of the matter is that when he came to Saul on the road to Tarsus, he simply said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Please mark down that the Lord is keeping the record of who fights against His church and His people. And the Lord has power to consume. And we may not understand in some instances the timing or the situation, but He is sovereign in the use of His power. Power to create, power to control, power to consume. Let me say this, He has power to continue as well. The Lord gives, the Lord takes. With God, all things are possible. James chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away." Now listen to this verse. "For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that." Notice that phrase, "if the Lord will." Would you say that with me, please? If. One more time. The fact is that your tomorrow is dependent upon God's will. The fact is that America's tomorrow is dependent upon God's will. And we must bear in mind that it is by God's power that we are sustained. It is by God's power that we continue. It's by God's power that we breathe. It's by God's power that we are even here tonight. And so we must rely on His power. It's not by our might or our power, but it's by the Spirit of God that we want to move forward and have our being in this world. And so His power is seen over creation. But notice, secondly, in the text before us, Psalm 33 in particular, His power over conflict. God's power over conflict. Now look at verse number 8, if you would. "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." How many of you believe that when Jesus Christ comes at His second coming with His vesture dipped in blood, how many of you believe that all the world is going to finally realize who Jesus Christ is? Boy, all the nations will gather against Him, and That valley of Megiddo will be aligned in such a way, and they will somehow feel the rulers of the world. They're finally going to have their way, and they will be utterly destroyed. And when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, they're going to stand in awe of Him. And verse 9 says, He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, and the thoughts of His heart to all generations. God is sovereign over the inhabitants of the world, including spirit beings, including the fallen angels. He has all power over them. And I want you to think about that power for just a moment. First of all, how many of you are thankful that the Lord has power over Satan tonight? And don't ever underestimate the fact that Satan is always working against the church of God, the people of God, always fighting marriages, always fighting soul winners, always fighting Christians in the areas of love, forgiveness, giving, whatever the step you're trying to take forward, he's always pushing back the other way. Job in verse number 12 of chapter 1, and the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. In other words, even when Satan was wreaking havoc on Job, there was a line that God said, you're not going to cross. You can have all of that, but you're not going to have this. How many of you are glad that you serve the God who draws the line that hedges Satan out from coming in on you? He has power over Satan. And in the passage, we see that God is testing Job. He's allowing the trials to come. And again, that's the sovereign hand of God. I read the book of Job, and I'm just amazed and overwhelmed. And I don't know how Job lasted, and I don't understand why all of those things took place. But I understand this. God was still in control. God had power even then over Satan. And in Matthew 16, 18, as he spoke to Peter, he said, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock, not speaking of Peter, speaking of himself, he said, Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see, there is a promise given to the church that Jesus will build, Jesus will add, and that Satan will not have victory over the work of the church. And so we see that our Lord has power to create, but he also has power over the conflicts that we face. And sometimes when I see the Rocky Mountains or the Grand Canyon or even look up to the San Gabriels, I am mindful of the fact my God made that. And it's a wonderful thing to consider. But sometimes that can be kind of the out there God. But I want you to know he's the in here God too. And he's the in here God. And he's the omnipresent God who wants to bring victory in every situation of your life. And he certainly brought victory ultimately even for Job. God has power over Satan. Notice also he has power over spiritual battle. Satan wages this spiritual battle. And I want you to look in your notes there at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, because it speaks about some of the spiritual battles that we face when it says, For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, let me just pause to say that there are many Christians who battle with these strongholds. And I don't think a week goes by where I'm not trying to help someone get some victory, and our pastoral staff certainly trying to help someone, because somewhere along the line a stronghold came in. It may have started with just some glancing at a billboard or a catalog, an innocent catalog that came to a home, and that led to some perusing on the cell phone of all things. And that led to a little more curiosity, until someone has a stronghold issue that they're facing that the devil himself brought in there so that he would not love his wife unconditionally. And there is a stronghold that came in. A lot of the teenagers tonight, they'll laugh it off at first, but they're under the stronghold of rock and roll music, because that music and the beat of that music brings an arousal, brings sometimes a rebellion. It brings an attitude into their life that Satan takes advantage of. Seems like it's a nothing. It seems like it's just preacher talk. But for some people, that can become a stronghold. Maybe you've seen someone who's dealing with alcohol or drugs, And the influence of those substances has a strong hold on their life. And I'm simply saying to you tonight from the depth of my heart that I believe the rock and roll industry, and I believe the illicit drug industry, and I believe the pornographic industry, I believe all of that to be of the devil tonight. It may be old-fashioned in a day when preachers are like, well, you know, whatever. Don't bother. You do whatever you want to do. Just be sure to show up and tithe. I happen to be a preacher that feels that Christianity ought to affect the way we live the other days of the week, too. And I've just seen the devil get a hold of some people through drugs, through alcohol, through pornography, through envy, through various different things. A stronghold will come into their life, and then I've seen them try to fight that battle with carnal weaponry. They try to fight that battle with the power of positive thinking, and they try to fight that battle with some confessional therapy, with some retreat they take with some priest or something, and they try to fight the battle in all the wrong ways. Let me tell you how to have power over those battles. Look at the next verse, verse 5. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see, we've got to bring those thoughts into captivity, and we've got to recognize we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. We've got to recognize that we must take the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, and we must fight these battles in prayer. We must fight these battles with the Word of God, and we must take those thoughts and throw them down. And you may have to battle that battle in ways different than others at times. There may be some things that you have to handle more aggressively, and scriptures that you'll apply to your heart that others maybe have to find other scriptures for other problems. But the way to win the battle is through the power of the Word of God and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've seen the tremendous anger and the tremendous rebellion that has taken place with different forms. Sometimes it's a school shooting. Sometimes it's a husband that will strike a wife. Sometimes it's the rebellious yelling of a teenager, but we do know that there is wicked power abundantly in the world today because there's someone who is the prince and power of the air, and his name is the devil. And you're not going to have victory in your power over the devil. It must be by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has power over crisis. There are many crises that come into our life. And many times unexpectedly, although the Lord has tried to help us with things like, so teach us to number our days. And the Lord has reminded us that life is brief. But sometimes we fail to just reckon with the fact that we have a limited amount of time. And sometimes crises comes, and I suppose it would come to the most spiritual of people, because it's something that we don't often want to think about. But I think of the crises of death. The Bible says in Psalm 89 in verse 48, what man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? In other words, this is something that is faced in the commonality of the human existence. But then notice what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:19. It says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. In other words, if having Christ in your life is just kind of something you just enjoy on planet Earth for this period of time that we have, really, you might as well just pick one and have any old religion, because there's lots of religions that last the length of this life. If it's only good for this life, then that's kind of a miserable thought. But the Bible says in verse 20, but now is, those are just three great words by themselves. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. All right. So there's a reason we have BC, and there's a reason that we have AD. And the reason is the empty tomb. There's a reason that we have before Christ. Now, they don't have that in the Holy Land, but throughout much of the world, we recognize that there's the before and the after. After what? After the tomb. After the cross. Jesus became the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. I'm so thankful tonight that I serve a risen Savior. Because you want to talk about renewing power, then talk about the resurrection of Christ and talk about being absent from the body to be present with the Lord. And we've got to focus on that and recognize that even at the crises times of life, the worst times to us, still, God has power over that. God has power over death and the grave. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. This is kind of a little silly story I read, but I thought it gave the point fairly well. A New Testament scholar was speaking of a man that was dying who asked a Christian doctor, "Tell me something about the place to which I'm going." The doctor kind of fumbled for a reply. He heard a scratching at the door, and he had his answer. He said, "Do you hear that scratching at the door?" The patient said, "Yes, it's my dog. I left him downstairs, but he's grown impatient. He's come up because he heard my voice. He has no notion what's inside this door, but he knows that I am here." And the doctor said, "Isn't that the same with you? You don't know what lies beyond the door, but you know your master is there." You know, someone said this, "Jesus will be what makes it heaven for me. Just to be with the Lord Jesus Christ." And the Bible tells us a lot about heaven. And there's some good books on heaven. I read one last year by Randy Alcorn. Wonderful book, insightful book. But you know, the fact is that just knowing Jesus is there is a wonderful thought by itself. The crises of death, he has power over the crises of death. Let me close with this thought. How many of you are thankful that he has power over the crises of sin? How many of you know sin's a big problem? You say, "Oh yeah, that's a big problem when someone lies or someone does something bad." Yeah, that's a big problem. Gossip's a big problem, and lust and envy and all of the breaking of the Ten Commandments. Those are big problems, but let me tell you something. Bigger than the individual sins is the penalty of sin. Because sin separates us from God. And yet, we see in the Scriptures that our God has power over the crises of sin. Notice Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that he has power over the sin problem. The Scriptures are very clear that without the shedding of the blood, there's no remission of sin. The Scriptures are also very clear that the wage of my sin is death. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's a lot of people tonight who are experiencing a struggle with sin, and they know they're sinners, but they don't know the worst of it. They don't know that that sin separates them from God. And the fact of the matter is that the reason we went out soul winning last night, the reason we have Love Works next week, and the reason we have a great emphasis on outreach is because there is a powerful penalty with sin. There's a crisis matter today with sin. And it's not just the few things we hear about on the news, because there are many other ramifications, but there is a great gift that is made available to every man, woman, boy, and girl who wants power over the penalty of sin. And that gift is the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross of Jesus is the supreme evidence of the love of God. It is the supreme gift of God. And it gives power over the crises of sin. Tonight, we serve a renewing God with power to give us victory. He had power to create. He has power over conflict. And he has power over the crises of life, including the sin matter that we face. And in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Let's read that verse together, shall we? "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because..." Now, I don't know tonight what you're facing. I began this Bible study by simply saying everyone here tonight has a challenge that requires the power of God. I don't know exactly what it is that you're facing, but I just wanted to remind you tonight, no matter how big the challenge, our God is bigger. If you have a little God, you have a big problem. If you have a big God, you have a much smaller problem. And tonight, the Bible teaches us, casting all your care upon Him because He careth for you. And this is how I would like to close our service. I'd like to just take some time tonight in our invitation to ask all of you who would say, Pastor, I've got kind of a big problem going on. I'd like to encourage you to bring it to the God who created you. I'd like to encourage you to bring it to the God that controls and sustains this world. I'd like you to bring it to the God who has power over every crisis, and just in this growth point time, just say, Lord, here I am. Here's my problem. Lord, I'm casting my care upon you. And Lord, I want you to help me casting down these imaginations that I might focus on you. Help me as I lay these burdens down at the foot of the cross. Would you do that with me? Let's